The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Brian Cashman. Thank you, David Stearns. Because instead of speculating, we got some trades to talk about 6 days before the MLB trade deadline. Welcome into Evan and Tiki on a very hot summer Friday in New York City. 6 days before the MLB trade deadline, and both teams within the last 2 hours have made trades. We'll start with the Yankees. Ryan McMahon.
Oh, this was Sean's boy.
Yeah.
Who he wanted.
For multiple years, too,
multiple
right?
Multiple years. This is who he's wanted. This year, I think less so because he's gotten off, a season's not been exactly what you would expect it from a bat standpoint, but he is the defensive third baseman that you need and you wanted if you're a Yankee fan. So, and by the way, he is significantly better than what you've got at the plate right now.
Well, that right there, that last sentence is where we start, because I know that I laid out my preferences for Eugenio Suarez, and some had preferences for Nolan Arenado. And others had preferences for let's get crazy and trade for O'Neill Cruz and move him to third base.
Which would have made no sense because the Yankees did that last year with Jazz Chisholm.
Right.
And it kind of worked out because Jazz Chisholm was Jazz Chisholm. And he kind of made it work. But I mean, you can't be known for, we're going to trade for a guy and then put him in a position that he's uncomfortable playing.
That is kind of a Yankee thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't make, you can't keep doing it.
You may have preferred other options. Like I did. There was another option I preferred. But here's what we know. Now at 2:03 on a Friday, as the Yankees get set to play 3 games against the Phillies, they got better.
Yes.
They have significantly upgraded themselves at third base. They've upgraded themselves offensively, even though Ryan McMahon leads the world in strikeouts, even though Ryan McMahon is hitting .217, even though Ryan McMahon has some god-awful splits home run, which we'll get into. Despite all of those negatives I just said, he's significantly better offensively than Oswald Peraza. So despite that,
right,
he's better than Peraza. And then when you look at his defense, and the challenging thing about defense is, yeah, unfortunately, we do have to rely on defensive analytics because none of us are watching the Rockies every single day. I watched the Rockies 6 times when the Mets played them, and Ryan McMahon feels like a really good defensive third baseman. But when you look at the defensive metrics, they tell you Ryan McMahon is a top defensive third baseman. So you haven't lost anything defensively. You've clearly gained offensively. And then the other thing that you hope for, and I admit this is hope, is the pixie dust of a guy going from one of the most dysfunctional organizations in baseball, the Colorado Rockies, mm-hmm. and coming to a winning environment. That maybe Ryan McMahon, who's basically given you 730, 740 OPSs the last few years, finds something by playing A at Yankee Stadium, but B in a much better lineup, in a pennant race, in a very different environment.
Right,
but even if he doesn't, he's better than what they had at third base.
It's the same argument you would have had for O'Neill Cruz if he had come here, because the Pirates are horrible. And at some point, you fall down because the ship is falling with you, falling down underneath you. And so it's kind of like, all right, this is a grind. This feels like work.
Mm.
This doesn't feel like fun coming to play baseball with a team that doesn't give a crap. And apparently the Colorado Rockies, until this year, didn't have analytics.
Yeah.
So you even go, hey, what could I do better? How are teams attacking me? We don't know. Right? So it's just, he didn't have the structure around him to even try to get better or figure out what was going wrong with him, Ryan McMahon, I'm talking about, and Colorado. But the other thing is, he's a lefty stick. And so I know he's got 16 home runs on the season. Most of them, unfortunately, are in Colorado.
Yes.
Where the air is thin. But
yes.
Perhaps the short porch helps you a little bit, but I think you're right. Just being in a situation where the expectation is now completely dwarfs what you were in could just lift you.
Yeah. It doesn't always work that way, but I remember feeling that way last year about Jazz. I said that for a while. I think if you bring Jazz to New York, he's got star potential. And I don't know if I've been fully right or wrong about that quite yet. The jury's sort of out on Jazz.
Mostly right.
Mostly right.
Yeah.
You going to give me a victory on that one?
Yeah, okay. I think the Yankee fan really likes Jazz.
Yeah, he's a good ball player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he the superstar I envision? Maybe not quite yet.
No, I mean, he's not going to hit 30 home runs, but you almost feel like you trust the moment that he's going to come through.
Yeah. And I think in this case, while Ryan McMahon is a flawed player, and he is, and you just touched on it briefly, the home road splits this season are deeply concerning. Now, what would make me feel better is that hasn't always been the case with Ryan McMahon. So this season, at home, he's a 250, 850 OPS player. On the road, it's 190, 590, which is terrible. But the good news is a year ago, it wasn't like that.
Right.
So it's not as if Ryan McMahon's entire career is built on being a Coors Field player. And so, yes, he strikes out a lot, even more than Suarez, but he's better than what you had. And sometimes it's as simple as that. When Aaron Boone writes out his lineup card, maybe not tonight because I don't think he's going to be in town quite yet, but Saturday or Sunday, and Ryan McMahon is the third baseman, and now Oswald Peraza, if he's still on this roster, is a super utility player, the Yankees are a better team.
Yes.
Were there other options at third base that offered greater returns? Sure. Look, I'd still argue with people that I would have gone harder after Suarez. Now, the negative to Suarez is that it was going to cost you more. Mm-hmm. The negative to Suarez is he's not as good defensively as Ryan McMahon, not as good of a base runner as Ryan McMahon, but he's a much better offensive player. I understand both sides. Nolan Arenado is another guy who isn't the same offensive player he used to be, but is platinum glove at third base. So there were other ways Cash could have gone. But I think what we know now, 6 days before the trade deadline, is you could just write your little check. Check mark. They've improved at third base. They no longer have to throw Yorbit Vivas and Oswald Peraza out there every single day. And it's on to the next checked box, which is a starting pitcher and another reliever.
Right, and he's controllable for two more years after this. So 2 years plus what's left on 25.
By the way, that I'm not sure is a good thing. Because
Depends on what he turns into.
Well, Ryan McMahon's going to make $16 million next year. Now, it's not my money. It's not your money, even though a lot of people are going to Yankee Stadium tonight, and they spent money, so maybe it is your money. The concern about McMahon making $16 million a year next year is what it doesn't allow you to do otherwise.
Right.
Because even though the Yankees are a big market team, much like the Mets are a big market team, there's always that kind of line of, well, we can't go above this. And is Ryan McMahon, with the numbers he's put up the last few years, a $16 million a year ball player? Not really. That's the negative.
Yeah, but that's the cost you take to get better defensively.
Sure.
And by the way, who knows who is going to be available in free agency after the season at third base? I don't know. I mean, and so you make the best decision you can in the moment, or make the best deal, I think, in your Brian Cashman's case, you can make in the moment. And this feels like the best deal.
They got better. The New York Yankees got better. Are they done? Listen, based on what Brian Cashman said a couple of weeks ago, and I went back and listened to it this morning just to refresh my memory on what Brian Cashman told us, because he's very honest with what he plans on doing, they're not done. Like, they're going to try to add a starting pitcher. They're going to try to add a reliever. Like, this is just checkbox number one. It wasn't all going to happen in one trade, but if memory serves correct, Brian Cashman said something about, quote, going to town. Do you remember that?
I do.
Do we have Brian Cashman saying, I'm going to go to town?
We're going to go to town. We're going to do everything we possibly can.
There you go. Does this count as going to town, T?
This is probably a step towards town. I don't think you're in town yet.
We're not in town.
We're
going
to go to town.
What's next? The starting pitcher, probably?
Yes.
Most likely. And so it makes it less dependent upon the Cam Schlittlers of the world and Marcus Stroman. But he's stepping towards town. He's not in town yet.
We're going to go to town.
He's stepping towards town. You have a little bit less than a week, Brian Cashman, to get to town.
Well, it's
That's
a good.
I'm saying.
It's a good start, because I think that when I put that poll out 48 hours ago and I asked Yankee fans, all right, starting pitching, bullpen, third base, what's your biggest need? Even if Brian Cashman may have disagreed with you, 68% of Yankee fans said it was third base.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at this as the biggest need, and it's been addressed. And as flawed as Ryan McMahon is, he is far better than what they currently have. Now, for any Yankee fan who says, don't stop now, go get me a shortstop, that's not happening.
Mm-mm.
Like, the Anthony Volpe discourse that we have, like, it's not coming externally. The only thing, though, that is now possible with a Ryan McMahon trade is Oswald Peraza, despite his 150 batting average, to me, should still be on this roster. Yorbit Vivas is the guy that I don't need to see anymore.
Right, he's probably expendable at this level.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But now Oswald Peraza playing a little bit more of shortstop is at least on the table. Like, it's something I would strongly consider if Volpe doesn't get better.
Right, so what does that do to Anthony Volpe? That's the question. If Anthony Volpe is now, I'm like, it's not going to be every other day. They're not going to be, all right, you get a day here, you get 2 days here, you get a day. It's not going to be like Giancarlo Stanton and a DH with Ben Rice. But if there are days where Anthony Volpe is sat down,
mm-hmm.
and it's once every 5 days, what does that do to Anthony Volpe? Does it motivate him? Is it a reprieve? Is it a, God, I feel good to just rest for a minute? Now maybe I can work on some things when I'm not playing a game. What does it do to Anthony Volpe? That's the question.
Okay, so it's a great question, but that's not my concern. So my concern would be this, and I know Oswald Peraza hasn't hit, which is part of the reason why Ryan McMahon was important acquisition, but if you go back to, let's say, June 14th, so we're a little over a month, Anthony Volpe is hitting 144. That's not playable. Like, that's not sustainable.
It's basically the same as Peraza.
Right. But there's been no recourse to ever sitting Anthony Volpe. Mm-hmm. He plays every single day. And so I'm not delusional enough to tell you that now that they got Ryan McMahon, they're going to go get a shortstop. They're not. But now at least you've opened up the possibility that once in a while, maybe Anthony Volpe doesn't play. Mm. Maybe Oswald Peraza does. Now, I get it. Peraza hasn't hit either. But has he hit that much worse than 144 over the last, 35 games? I mean, it's actually not that far off. But the point is, you now have yourself a way to not have to play Anthony Volpe every single day because he's a problem.
Right.
He's been a problem defensively all year. For some reason, he's gone backwards. And obviously, offensively, he just hasn't contributed much. By the way, over that same period of time that I just gave you with Anthony Volpe.
Yeah.
Oswald Peraza's hitting 120. So it's bad all the way around. But my point is, even if Peraza isn't a better option, you're no longer married to have to play Anthony Volpe every day.
How can he be that bad?
Which one?
Volpe. It doesn't make sense to me how he's that bad.
From an offensive standpoint or even from a defensive standpoint?
Defense, it is what it is. Like, he's going through something. He's lacking confidence, and it's mostly on the throws.
But you know what, Tate? That's actually more alarming to me than the offense.
Why? Because that should be automatic?
Because here's why. Because for 3 years, he's already been an inconsistent offensive player. It's nothing new.
Mm.
The defense, he was a Gold Glover 2 years ago. Like, he's gone backwards defensively. Brian Cashman's admitted it. Aaron Boone, if you just listen through the defense mechanisms he uses, he'll even admit it.
Yeah.
So the defense going backwards to me is more crazy than the fact that he's just streaky bad offensively, because he's kind of been that his entire career.
Yeah, but I feel like those early couple of years with Anthony Volpe, at the very least, he was going to get on base and he was going to steal bases. And now it feels like he's a void.
Yeah.
He's just a black hole in your lineup, and there's nothing that's going to correct it.
Well, one thing that can happen if it's not Volpe sitting more is that Volpe should be batting ninth every single game now. Mm. Because Ryan McMahon is a better hitter than what Oswald Peraza was. He's a better hitter than what Anthony Volpe was. And so maybe dropping him to the ninth slot, which we saw just a couple of days ago once,
right,
is something else you can try. So the Ryan McMahon trade makes the Yankees better. Now, the Mets made a trade too. And their trade is very, very typical of David Stearns. I did a Rico Bronya last night previewing the trade deadline, and in it I talked about David Stearns' history. Not just last year with the Mets, we all remember that, but even his time in Milwaukee. And David Stearns' track record, and I get that Milwaukee situation and the Mets situation is different, mm-hmm. especially when it comes down to the finances.
Right.
He's big on adding relievers. And he's big on adding, like, you never know relievers.
Right, the lottery ticket relievers.
Yes! That was the phrase I used last year to describe Phil Maton and Ryan Stanek and Waskar Brazoban. And I think Gregory Soto kind of fits that. Now, personally, I've never been a huge fan of Gregory Soto. Sometimes he loses the strike zone completely. I may have lost some fantasy weeks because of him back in the day in Detroit.
So this is personal.
Well, isn't that our opinion on relievers in general? It's always personal.
Because you don't see him enough.
I don't.
Unless they're on your team.
Yeah, correct.
You don't really know.
And so when I've seen Gregory Soto over the years, whether it's in Detroit or Philadelphia or Baltimore, he has been incredibly streaky. So I can't come on the radio today and say, yeah, oh, I love this move. But what I can say is it's a lottery ticket. And the thing about relieving lottery tickets is you never know.
Mm.
Would it surprise me if Gregory Soto is locked down and becomes the most reliable eighth inning guy handing the baseball off to Edwin Diaz? The reason I say no is because I know his stuff is electric. I know what he's capable of. Would it surprise me if we're talking about DFAing him in the middle of September? No.
Mm.
So I don't hate the move by any stretch, especially considering the Mets did not give up big prospects in this trade. But it very much fits the David Stearns kind of resume of it's a lottery ticket.
Yeah, but the only thing that needs to also happen is there needs to be one or two more of them.
Correct.
That's you can almost guarantee is going to be the case.
No question there will be. Now, will there be lottery tickets that have a better chance of hitting than Gregory Soto? Because you got to have to look at the lottery tickets in a different way. Like Ryan Stanek, I'll mention him last year. When he came over, he was having a bad year, but his track record had been pretty good, especially in the playoffs. So he was one of those lottery tickets that had a better chance of hitting than, say, another lottery ticket.
Right.
So Soto, to me, fits that. There's nothing to hate about a move like this because they didn't give up a lot. But I'm also not going to tell, this is it, man. It's a typical David Stearns, let's add a reliever, let's throw it against the window, we'll see how it works kind of move. And I expect, Teak, that to be the trade deadline for David Stearns.
Yeah, that's what he always seems to do, and it seems to work out. I mean, last year I thought that the Mets were purely evaluating what this roster was going to look like, who was going to be here, who was not going to be here. You make a couple of little moves that don't feel special or anything, and the next thing you know, you're in the NLCS. And so if you have a track record of doing something one way and it's created success, why are you changing to do something else? Why are you going to go drastic all of a sudden and bring in some superstar, whoever that may be, depending on what position we're talking about? Why would you do that if it hasn't been your MO? And so expect little things that we're not going to get excited about, but ultimately might get you back to where you were.
Is that enough for Met fans? We'll get to your calls. Yankee fans, how do you feel about the Ryan McMahon acquisition and what should be next? 888-808-1019. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.